She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
I'm Lisa Davis. Andrea is off today. I recently got two beautiful labs that had been surrendered to a shelter in our area because the folks had to move. And I love dogs. I'm a dog fanatic. My daughter, not so much. As a matter of fact, she has a big fear of dogs and she gets very stressed out. Well, her stress deeply affected me. And then we were both super stressed out. Luckily, now it's been about a month. She loves the dogs, but you can really get affected from other people's stress. And there's something that Dr. Orloff calls emotional contagion. We've got Judith Orloff back and so thrilled to have you, Dr. Orloff. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Now, of course, I love to talk about my dogs, but this time it actually related to the topic of conversation. I would feel her stress would make me so stressed out. And I felt kind of, I didn't say stop stressing me out, but I kind of felt that way. And talk to us a little bit about how other people's stress can really affect you.
Well, in Emotional Freedom and The Power of Surrender, my two books, I talk about how emotions are contagious. How you can literally feel the stress or the happiness of other people who are around you. So you can actually feel it in your body and it can affect your energy level. And so you have to be really careful in terms of, you know, the people you choose to have around you and the stress level, because we have more control over our stress than we think. And so it's very important to do an inventory of people who stresses you out, who drains you, the energy vampires versus the positive ones, so you can have more of a balance of positive people and you can be feeling those emotions more than the negative.
Now, what can we do in the situation that I discussed? You know, my daughter's fear is legitimate and the stress level is going to be there. And she is somebody I want in my life, and it obviously. And so what would you do? What do you recommend for situations like that, where it's more of a situational kind of stress that's going to be temporary, hopefully?
Yeah, well, I mean, for you, are you asking for yourself or for her?
Yes. Yeah, for both. Just using my situation as an example to help illustrate this for the listeners.
Well, you know, in the Ecstasy of Surrender, I talk about empathic illnesses or empathic symptoms where you can literally feel somebody else's stress in your own body. And so your work then is to really meditate, center yourself, ground yourself, and breathe out her stress so you don't take it on in your body. That's one thing you don't want to do.
I see.
And what she has to do is calm herself down. And whenever you try and get over a fear, you know, which is so powerful, I really encourage my patients and everyone to slowly but surely, you know, get over their fears and begin to lead more of a fearless life. You know, she can really examine, what is she so afraid of? Did it come from her childhood? You know, did it come from some experience with dogs that she needs to, you know, surrender and let go of? You know, she can use it as a growth experience. You know, why is she so triggered? You know, why is she so stressed out? I don't know, you know, what the origins are for her, but it would be a great situation where she can inquire and find out and heal herself.
Yeah, I think so, too. And one of the things that's so important is someone in that situation where they have a phobia or a fear, they need to want to face it, because she's really stubborn. So she'll say, well, I don't want to get over my fear of dogs. I'm like, OK, well, then I can't help you. Like the person has to.
No,
right?
No, you can't. Somebody has to.
I mean, I don't mean that in a mean way.
No, you know, as a psychiatrist, you know, I know how hard it is to change, even if you want to. And if you don't want to, then forget it. You can stay with your fear. As far as I'm concerned, enjoy it. No, people want to change. Yeah. And so that's something I really respect. And sometimes people get stuck in their suffering, which is an interesting point. You know, what do you do if you have a friend or a loved one who doesn't want to take the steps necessary for change, and you're there with them and you see their suffering? You know, what do you do? How much can you do for them? I have that situation now with a friend. And, you know, it's very hard to just sit there and say, you know, I can see that's very difficult for you. Because whenever I offer a suggestion, she doesn't want it. She does not want to take any of my suggestions. So, of course, I think my suggestions are good. but she doesn't.
I'm sure they are.
But she doesn't want to accept them. So that's part of emotional freedom. You know, and that's what I write about in emotional freedom, is accepting people as they are. There's some people you can't change. I mean, they have to want to change. And so that's part of emotional health, too. And so you're not codependent. You're not trying to push this person up the hill when they're not walking. You know,
oh, I love the way you said that. That's such a good example. It is exhausting.
It's exhausting.
It is. And if they're not willing to change, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, in terms of emotional health, that's kind of something you have to come to terms with, is, you know, the serenity prayer, you know, accept the things that I cannot change and the wisdom to know the things I can't change, and accept that. You can't change everything. And, you know, I wrote my book on surrender with that premise in mind, to intuitively know the things you can change, the people who will be receptive to growing with you, you know, and healing themselves, and the ones that can't, you know, or the situations that you can achieve in your life and those that you can't, you know, at least at that moment. So, I mean, that's the art of surrender, is really sensing with your intuition, you know, when you can make change. As a psychiatrist, I look for those moments with my patients where the door opens and then I can say things that will facilitate change. But until that time, I could say things, you know, until the end of the world, and no one will hear me.
Oh, you know, that makes so much sense. And I think that's something that we need to let go of, is you can't change other people. And we talked about it earlier. They have to want to change.
You have to surrender the notion that you can change other people. That's one of the basic premises of my book, you know, the ecstasy of surrender. You cannot change other people, but in sometimes, you know, hopefully in healthy relationships, you can grow and compromise together and keep
and you can change how you look at it. Yes.
Change how you look at it, but hopefully you have a partner or a friend who wants to do that dance with you of change and growth. You know, maybe you're going to hit a blind spot like with, you know, this person, but in general, you know, they want to grow and change with you. They don't want it to stay the same all the time. Somebody stays the same with all their fears and resentments. It's very hard to enjoy them and grow with them. You know, hopefully you want to have a healthy relationship that keeps growing and changing and compromising, and you're talking about your needs and you're, you know, making little tweaks here and there, and you're working together. That's what keeps passion alive.
Yeah, that really does. And it sounds like you have such, you know, I know you talk about being an intuitive healer, and it sounds like you have that intuitiveness that you need when you're working with clients to know when to jump in and recommend things and when they're going to be open to it.
Well, as a therapist and an intuitive healer, I'm an MD and an intuitive healer, I combine both my traditional knowledge of science, you know, with my intuition, so that I can use, you know, all of my analytic brain with, you know, the intuitions that I get about patients, so that I can help them using different perceptual modes. And it's so useful, you know, and I've trained other healthcare professionals to incorporate intuition into patient care. And I think it's just essential. I mean, why not? You know, why not? It's such a useful form of knowledge.
I think so, too. Well, again, your latest national bestseller is The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. And, you know, I joked in the beginning before we got on air that, you know, I'm so glad that somebody surrendered these two dogs, because they didn't exercise them and they fed them too much and they never got out. And now we go out 4 to 5 times a day, and I'm so much happier, and I'm getting out in the woods all the time. And so their surrendering allowed me to embrace what they gave up and with love. And I think it's so wonderful. So I'm so glad you came back, and you're regular here on Naturally Savvy Radio, here on Radio MD. And you can find out more about Dr. Orloff, I can't pronounce today, at drjudithorloff.com. Thank you so much for listening. You can learn more about Radio MD on Facebook. Take care and stay well.